Want to continue our study in the book of James. If you would, turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we will look at the first 13 verses there. CJ, I'm going to need a chair up here on this side. If you don't mind, just get one from there. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2, if you're there already. And we will read verses 1 through 13. And as we read that, I want someone to let me know what the main thrust or what this main portion is talking about. Thank you. So stand with me for the reading of the word, James chapter 2, and let's read verses 1 through 13. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you would pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand here, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You may be seated. So tell me, what is the main thought here in these 13 verses? What are we talking about?
Partiality.
All right. So partiality, showing favoritism. This message could be become controversial. It could be taken the wrong way. But stay with me and let's look at it. And then maybe toward the end of the service, we can maybe make it a little more practical, understand it. And I don't want it to be a controversial message. I think we can understand it and look at it together. And I think it's for us here today. On showing favoritism. What is partiality? What is a good description of it? I looked it up in a dictionary. It says it's the inclination to favor one party or one side of a question more than another. You hear one group say one thing and another group another, but you're partial and you kind of side up with the one group. It springs from the will and affections rather than from the love and truth. Okay? It kind of springs from a selfishness in our lives rather than just a deep love and a truth that we should have in responding to other people. Just looking at verse 1, basically what verse 1 is saying is, don't say that you're a Christian and show partiality. The two don't go together. Don't profess the Lord Jesus Christ and yet be a person that is partial. Think of Jesus' own words. It's interesting. As this whole thing of partiality is dealing with the rich and the poor. And I want to just give a little bit of an illustration here. But just before we go there, Luke 5:32. This is what Jesus' own words were. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't just spend his time with the righteous and the good. And he came to help those that were in need. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." So Jesus here was willing to become poor to help, to make us become rich in his kingdom. 2 Corinthians 9:9 says, "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." So this assembly here that it's talking about now is speaking of a Jewish assembly that took place back in the synagogues type of locations where these people would meet. And it would have been more like a court setting would be for us today, where people came with disagreements and they came to these synagogues or these places. And then there would be a judge or someone there that would deal with these situations and then work through it. This is maybe the way it would look. And children, I want you to listen up here, and maybe you can understand a little bit what this portion of Scripture is talking about, and maybe then you can help us. So I have two gentlemen that are going to come help me. So if they would come in. Now this is a court setting, and this may be what it looked like. Hello. Your name is Mr. Rich. You're welcome. You may have a seat right here. Good to have you. Great to have you. Sir? Yes, Your Honor. Got over here. Just sit right there on the floor. You're fine. This man's name is Poor. Mr. Rich and Poor. Okay? They have come to hear a verdict. They have a disagreement. And maybe we can see what happens here when decisions are made and they're based on being partial. Now, I've made this up, but I think this is somewhat what Scripture is saying, what it may have looked like. So these men now have come and they have given me their struggle. And their struggle is, as I understand, there's a disagreement here between property lines. Mr. Rich, how much property do you own?
My last rough estimate is about 500 acres.
Around 500 acres. Wow. You're quite wealthy.
Yeah. Have enough.
Quite wealthy. Well, Poor over here, what has happened is, Poor, how much, what do you own as far as acres?
I have one sheep.
One sheep. A quarter acre. What happened was Poor has moved his garden and has come on to the land of Mr. Rich. And he has entered across the boundary line. He's been doing this for the past year. Mr. Rich had brought him now to be judged, to be brought to reckon with. So you see the difference here. There's a big difference. And Poor had been doing this for quite some time, for about a year.
Your Honor, I didn't know.
You didn't know?
If I have a surveyor, I would survey the land. I would have 5%.
So you knowingly you didn't do it. Does that make any difference to you, Mr. Rich?
It doesn't make a difference to me. He was on my land.
He was on his land. All right. Thank you for bringing this to my decision. I asked for you to go to the room over there. Get up, go. And Mr. Rich, I asked you to go over there as I make up my decision. Okay, so you see the problem here that they have. Mr. Rich is bent on getting something out of Poor. Poor had no idea what he did was wrong, that he was even across the line, but it's where he's at. Okay. Which room did I send Mr. Rich into? Can you go get him? Nah. Just go tell Mr. Rich to come out, that the lawyer here or the judge wants to see him. All right. So, I tell you what. Sound like you've got a little money. I'll work a deal with you. You work with me, and I'll work with you.
How much is it going to cost me?
If I put together a plan here to where he can maybe do some work for you, and you can come out smelling like a rose, you'll help me out at the end.
I'll help you out.
That's a deal?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you may be seated. Okay, now, I need pour out. So if you want to go get pour. Just find a seat there. So I've heard the verdict. I have decided, poor, to, because of your actions, even though unknowingly, you should have known, you should have been asking questions. I ask you to immediately, at your return back home, to remove your garden plants and things immediately. And then $100 fine, €100.
My wife and my children.
That's all right. Right now we're looking out for Mr. Rich. This is his property. €100 fine is going to be charged to you. You have 30 days to pay for that. And then because of your actions and what has taken place this past year, I will ask you to work for Mr. Rich 20 hours per week for the next year. Because you have come over on his property, it's been very unfair for him. That is the verdict. I ask you to accept that and just move on with life.
Daughter, think of my wife and my children. We're gonna die.
There's the door. All right, that's the story. So if you would That's grand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Children, what happened here? What took place? Was that a fair deal there that I made, a judgment call? Was that fair? No. It wasn't fair at all, was it? I was looking out for myself, and if you look at verse 4, it says there that you have become judges with evil thoughts. And that's what happened. These people were looking out for themselves, okay? And I'm looking out for myself. I see the rich man as having some money, okay? So I work in favor to give him a little extra so that I can get a little something too. The poor, we don't care about him. He went home and now he's got the fine to pay and goes on with life. It's all about myself and the riches. That's what was happening here in this time. Something similar to that. Just wanted to give that kind of as a little bit of an illustration. The rich and the poor need to stand on one level to be judged rightly. Luke 14:13 says, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind." Luke 6:20. Then he lifted up his eyes towards his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Jesus came to minister to the poor in heart. Now, in verse 5 of chapter 2, it says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. It's not so much of how much money they have and how that looks and how well they're dressed and what they drive. It's the faith. And they're heirs of his kingdom. Everyone is heirs of his kingdom, no matter who we are and what our wealth looks like or what we actually own. It's our heart. Is my heart turned towards God? What does God say about wealth and money anyway? I think we all know the verse in 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." That's the love of money and wealth. It's the root of all kinds of evil, and it's what brings partiality so many times, and it's what was happening here at this time. Verses 6 and 7, it speaks here of the rich. Let's just look at it. It says, Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? And here, I don't even know if they're thinking about that. Here they were kind of siding up alongside of them, but yet the rich are the ones that were causing so much of the trouble, dragging people into courts. They're the ones that aren't happy, and they get other people into trouble. It's greed. It's that whole mentality that follows that. The rich so often do not sense their need for the Lord because they have what it takes to live. They have their needs provided for. Why do they need the Lord Jesus? I don't know if you've ever come across this, but talking to a poor beggar or someone about the Lord Jesus is much easier than a rich person. You feel much more comfortable, I do, talking to a poor man than you do a rich person. And they're more apt to hear and to understand that. Especially, I've been involved some in prison ministries, and you feel that there as you go. These people are locked up. They have nowhere to go. They're just kind of at the end. But yet they're open. They sense to be more open to the gospel. The poor, they don't have this condition of filth money in their lives. And it doesn't hinder them in the way that it does the rich person. Verse 8, if you really love the Lord Jesus, then you will love everyone as you love yourself. That is what verse 8 is speaking of here. And in verse 9, it just shows that this whole thing of showing partiality is sin. It's wrong. It's not just an action we shouldn't do. It's kind of wrong. It's sin. It is something wrong, and it must be dealt with. Must be taken care of. There was no allowance given for it. It says in verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble at one point, he is guilty of all. So a person could have kept everything in the law and stumbled maybe just in this part, just in this area of partiality. It was still wrong. It was still wrong. It's the way it is for us today. No matter what you struggle in, if you're not keeping, if you don't keep everything that the Bible says, only holding out in one area, it's still wrong. Just want to read an account of another example where this is very clearly brought out, that everything must be taken care of in our lives and in our hearts. And in Mark 10, if you want to turn to that, Mark chapter 10, verse 17, just a few verses there that I would like to read. And it just gives this illustration here again of making sure that everything's taken care of, that we don't just have a problem in one area and we think, well, we're doing good in the rest of these areas, but we take care of whatever it is, and we set our hearts right. Mark 10:17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt down before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. All of these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing, just one thing that you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at the word, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? One thing, okay? So it's important that we take care of that one thing, whatever that is. And in this situation, they're talking about this thing of showing favoritism and partiality. And whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in my life, that one thing must be taken care of. And here for this man, it was wealth. It was riches. This whole thing that they were struggling in this area of showing favoritism. Then in verse 12, it's just asking us to be careful on what we do and what we say. Be very careful on that. For it says that you will be judged by the law. We will be judged at some point by the law. Notice what happens in verse 13 for those that don't show any mercy. Now, I didn't show any mercy hardly to poor up here. And if we respond, and hopefully this isn't happening among us, this type of a scene, But if I respond and don't show mercy to a brother or a sister, whoever it may be, it's very serious. Verse 13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Mercy triumphs over judgment. How merciful are you? How merciful am I? Now, we must realize, just want to change direction here maybe just a bit. We must realize that partiality here, or this favoritism, can be taken in the wrong way. There comes a time when we have to say no, or we have to make some judgment calls that don't always just feel maybe the best, or don't feel easy to make. And it's for the right reasons. And so we have to understand that. This is not talking about, or this favoritism or this partiality is not talking about sin issues or wrong motives and attitudes that people come with. We need to guard against those things. So there's times when we have to help a person see that because of sin, because of a wrong action or an emotive that they are displaying, that maybe, you know, we can't favor them quite the way they feel they should be favored. And we must look at that in a Christ-like way. When it's sin, we have to be able to say there's no toleration for that as it relates to the church. The bride of Christ, the church, needs to be spotless. This then requires a people that are preparing for the same wedding, the people that are walking hand in hand along the road together in a unified way. Not that we don't have our differences, but we work together. And so we have to understand that. And it's not that we're just saying, you know, because you don't just believe the way we do, we don't accept you. We're not that strong. But we must realize that a person must follow what the Bible says in order to be a part of the body of Christ. We are not being partial if we say that we will not tolerate sin in the church. That is not partiality from the way I would understand it, and I believe it's where you would be at as well. But we do become partial if we accept or not accept people based on their wealth, their past background, whatever that may look like, their color, their nationality. That's where then we can become partial at times. A person's heart is what we look at. It's not the outward, it's not the car, it's not the home. It's the heart that we need to look at. Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Speaking here of the heart. And that is where we need to go. So many times we judge on the outward appearance, and we kind of base our favoritism and things kind of is based on that. But God looks at the heart, and that's where we must go. Here's an account in Acts chapter 8, and let's read verses 18 to 21. Acts 8, 18 to 21. "And when Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." Here's this wealth, this riches coming out again, "saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you.'" So here, his heart was not right. He was after this money. He was after this selfishness again. And that's a lot of times favoritism, as it happens with you and myself, it's selfishness. And that's what's happening here. The heart must be dealt with. And it's very harsh. Verse 21, very harsh. There it said, "You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." 1 Peter 3:4 says, "Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." It's the inner person that we need to be looking at. Doesn't matter if he looked like Mr. Poor or looked like Mr. Rich. It's that inner person. And we have to put everybody on that same plane. Now, I want to just open it up for you. We just have a few minutes here. What are some ways, I would say, we probably don't struggle too much with a radical happening like you've seen here among us in our church. But what are some ways that favoritism or partiality can come into the church among us as brothers and sisters? I would love to just... I wrote down some things here, but I'm not going to share mine unless I don't hear from you. But I would love to just hear, what are ways that maybe we can become partial in our own setting, and maybe even to others, you know, our neighbors or whatever? If you have a thought, I would love to have you share that. Okay, common interest. If a person really likes to do stuff that you said this, Jan, yeah? If you really connect with Jan on his interest of wood burning and all that kind of stuff he likes to do and hiking, he's probably going to show some favoritism toward you. Okay, that's good. Or swimming in the cold water. So we all have our likes, and so we connect. We do. We connect pretty quickly to someone that likes to do what I like to do, and then that just kind of goes right along. Yeah, that's good. But it doesn't make. We shouldn't be that way. It's good to have that connection, but then, Jan, you have to be willing to do some things with me that maybe you don't really care to do, and still be that friend, okay? What's another area maybe we struggle in? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you hit it right on. We people that have that common standard as I do and kind of believe the way I believe, we can hit it off with them pretty good. And then the next person we just shy away from.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes there's something that's afflicted the church for a long time. Certainly, I've seen it before.
Okay. I feel it's definitely something that we have to deal with, and it finds its way into the church among ourselves. I the one I wrote down here, and this is speaking, it's the position that I'm in. God has called me, and that's the thing of church leaders showing partiality to different people in the church because of just like what Naomi said or whatever. And we pray that doesn't happen, but I believe it has happened in the past. And if any of you sense that I would at all, or Dan would be that way, you know, we listen to someone and kind of okay with that, but then this one over here, nope, you know, no time. We don't want to be that, not at all. So I open my life to you in that area. We must be fair and willing to hear each other. I think families, parents, maybe even can become partial to their children. I think at times that can happen. Maybe, hopefully not for a lifetime, but maybe at different phases in the life, whatever, just because of whatever reasons. We have to be very careful with that, just in our own homes, with our own children. Any other areas? I think sometimes even families, there's close-knit families, and we maybe become partial with that, and so we just kind of stay together as a family, and we find it hard to have someone else kind of come in. We kind of favor our time, and but we have to open ourselves to those around us and our friends, and not be just what feels the easiest. Any other thoughts? I'm going to wrap this up here just in a moment. Well, may the Lord bless you as you go through this next week and through the coming years. Let's not be those that show partiality in any way, shape, or form. And when we do, then let's be willing to hear that and accept it and to talk about it and to make amends where that is needed. It's something it's disgusting when you see it happening. And maybe sometimes when we do it ourselves, we don't really see it the way it really is. I think it's important that we find ourselves all on one level. There's not this hierarchy or anything like that. And we work together. We don't tolerate sin and those type of things, but we can work together and not show favoritism among ourselves. I would like to, next Sunday, to have the message. And I think what we'll do is move from James chapter 2. We still have half of this chapter to go through, but I may just leave that half and do that here in a couple of weeks, and probably we'll move to James chapter 3, the first part of that. And the reason is because I'm going to be asking you, some of your brothers, to help me in the first part of James chapter 3, and we'll do that next Sunday. So I'm going to come to some of you with an assignment, and I think we'll together next Sunday bring the Word of God. So pray for that God would be glorified. Thank you for your attention. Let's kneel for closing prayer.
Thank you, God, for the blessings of this day, for the privilege to come and to worship you. We thank you for your word that shows us the way you would have us to live as Christians, as fellow believers, with each other, with those that we rub shoulders with in the world, that we work for. We pray, God, that we would be those that would show love and look at people's hearts and not so much as on the outward expressions or the things they enjoy, and then base our opinions and our likes or dislikes on that. But help us, God, to look at their hearts and their love for you, and then to be a friend, to not be partial or show favoritism towards any certain person. Help us, God, be those that are willing to accept one another in love. We thank you for the congregation here. We pray for those that are not with us this morning. God bless them for wherever they're at, for Dan and Barbara and their time. Continue to watch over them. So guide us through this next week. Direct us in the responsibilities that each one of us has. Help us, God, to glorify you and to be a blessing and encouragement to those that we meet. God is thinking good. We pray this in your word. Amen.